Everybody doing well? Good. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad that you're here. I want to just kind of pray for just a minute, if that's okay with you guys. Let's take just a second and just kind of focus in for a moment. God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I ask more than anything that today when we leave here, God, for those of us that know you, that we wouldn't take for granted what you have done for us, and that we wouldn't take for granted the purpose in our existence and to give you glory. God, and that even through the process, Lord, of saving our souls, of rescuing us, of redeeming us, God, I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. God, and just who we are, God, I just pray, Lord, that we could know you more, Lord, for just meeting with you today and hanging out with you today. God, work on our hearts, Lord, as we attempt to, Lord, praise you through this time we have together. In your name I pray, amen. It's good to see you this morning. I don't know about you, but I am fascinated by crazy stories. For example, I don't know, and this, you know, I'm not trying to be Pleasant View specific here, but this is being a little bit Pleasant View specific. If you've ever gone to the Mexican restaurant in Pleasant View at lunchtime, anybody ever go to the Mexican restaurant during lunchtime on a weekday? I just talked to a bunch of people. We got a bunch of weekenders. We got a few. 9 times out of 10, if you are there during lunchtime on a weekday, they have it on this wonderful channel called Spike, okay? This channel, I don't know if they're out of everything else to show or to watch, but the majority of what they show, seems like to me anyway, at least at lunchtime at the Mexican restaurant, is world's craziest videos. You know what I'm talking about? Talking about high-speed pursuit, talking about police chases, talking about, you know, it's all like the reject stuff from, you know, America's Funniest Home Videos. It's that stuff, you know? And so, you know, it's just a bunch of crazy videos. And I think we're fascinated, you know, and as much as like, you know, I really don't like to get caught just watching that stuff, you just can't help but not watch it. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, just seeing a guy get clotheslined while riding a horse or something. It's just one of those things. You're like, oh, did you see that guy in between eating chips and salsa? See that guy? Clotheslined while riding a horse. Pretty amazing. And you know, we're so caught with amazing stories. There is probably one of the most amazing stories in Scripture, and possibly one of the very things that God did to, you know, we have, of course, the sacrifice of his son probably being the biggest history-changing thing. But then there's this other thing that happens within Scripture with one man in his life and him being changed, that it also is a very huge part in human history. Now, you don't, you know, people won't talk about this in your history class or whatever, but I'm telling you, that Scripture shows, and I think we've got plenty of proof to show for it, that because of this person's life being changed, we see this huge, huge change happen and this ripple effect through history because of this man's life. This guy's name was Saul. He eventually became known as Paul. Before he was a Christian, he was known for killing Christians. And it's one of those stories that, like, it's almost like so, it's almost so crazy, it's almost just so, you know, can't hardly believe it, that you almost just don't buy into it until you get to really reading the story. And the story goes something like, you know, this guy who is basically killing Christians, killing people that were proclaiming that Jesus was the Son of God and was the way and the truth and the life, this guy is out killing people like me and you. And he's on a road one day, on his way to a place called Damascus. And this is what happened in Paul's story on this particular day. It says, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus, and with the authority and compassion of the chief priests, about noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's a pretty amazing story. We have a guy who is just wandering around doing his thing. And in the midst of that, in the midst of this little travel that he is taking, God strikes him down. Not just with light, but if you want to go ahead and study more of this passage of scripture, you can go back and read earlier in Acts. And it's talked about three times in the same book because it's such a huge thing that happened. And Saul is actually blinded. Saul actually later on was known as Paul. God changed his name, gave him a new life. I think so many of us find it so hard to believe that our story could change from being what it is right now. We think that we are married to who we have made ourselves out to be in this world. To think of us doing anything different than what we do right now in this moment is so far-fetched from us. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm just thinking about this from Paul's standpoint. And I'm going, you know, here's a guy who had set out to basically kill Christians, and God just like knocks him down on the ground with some sunshine and says, hey, you're going to be my guy. I've seen people wrestle with calls to ministry or just calls to just minister where they live and what they do and in their homes. But we have an amazing thing that happens here. When God wants to rescue us from where we are, if he so chooses to do something completely different with us, that's his prerogative. You may be here today, maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you've got something going on in your life, you know, and you're thinking, well, you know, I've kind of made myself, I'm this, and I have this title, and people know me like this, and they know me like that, and you know, some of this is good, and some of it's bad. I don't really want to be known for some of these things, but that's kind of, you know, my fault because I did these things over here. And you know, we have gotten ourselves to the point that where we are a title. And I'm just here to tell you today that that's a joke. That if you identify yourself as a title, that's really a joke. I don't want to be like the last thing that I'm known for on this earth just to be known to be a pastor of a church. I want to be known for being a God lover. And I want to be known for being the husband that God called me to and the dad that he called me to and the friend that he called me to. And then it's cool if you want to say, you know, he was a pretty decent minister. Actually, he wasn't most of the time, but that's okay. We loved him and we put up with him. We get so tied up with these things. You see, God wants there to be some great stories. And for those of us that are sitting here today and we're thinking, you know, there's no way that I could become something different. There's no way that I could be known for anything different. I want you to understand something. I want you to know that sometimes God takes us from those moments in time to change us just for this reason alone. And just get this, because we think it's all about us most of the time. And we're just like, oh, God saved me, he's rescuing me. And that's so awesome because God loves me and God does love us. But we miss that sometimes he does these amazing things for his glory. That sometimes he does them so that when people see our lives completely change, that they go, oh my gosh, God is real. And you see what begins to happen is God is made famous. He is given the glory for this amazing rescue. And that's what he wants. He wants our lives to point to him. Paul's conversion is an amazing story. And, you know, again, I believe it's probably a history-changing story. Without Paul, we wouldn't have half of the New Testament. You take a guy that God completely changed his life, and he turns out to be the guy to write half of our Bible. Half of the stuff that we are constantly going back to for meditation, to be encouraged, to be challenged, is Paul. Paul's like the guy, he's like the forerunner all through Scripture, just kind of going, you know what, guys, we don't have time to mess around. We may not be here tomorrow, and we can't be messing around. We've got to do what God has called us to do, and this is it. And so he's writing letters to these churches just left and right, and he's encouraging, and he's keeping some of them accountable by saying, hey, you're messing up over here. And sometimes it's stuff we don't want to hear, and sometimes it's stuff that, man, we really need to hear, and we want to hear it. But God used him and is being glorified because of his life. You see, God is glorified through our redemption. Through the rescue of our life, God is glorified. And not only is he glorified just through the rescue in of itself, but he can be glorified in us redeeming others. Now, I'm not saying saving them, you know, from eternal damnation here. I'm talking about us forgiving other people. Did you know that? Did you know that God can be glorified through us forgiving someone else? I've got this passage of scripture here for you. It's Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. And it says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly brother will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your father will not forgive your sins. That's some heavy stuff. God has called us to forgive other people. Why is that such a big deal? Here's why. It's a big deal because it's hard for us to do. And if it was just up, let's just be honest for a second here, okay? If it were up to just us as human beings who love to hold grudges and who love to, you know, stir these things up within our hearts against other people, this bitterness and these things, we would not overcome them. The only legitimate excuse for us to possibly be able to say when someone has completely wronged us, for us to be able to look at them and go, you know what, I love you, I forgive you of that, don't worry about it, I love you, you're cool in my eyes. The only way for that to be legitimate is because we love Jesus Christ. And because we have the power and the ability to show God's love to other people. If it were just up to us, we'd be bitter at everybody, wouldn't we? We'd just be bitter all over the place. I mean, let's just face it. We fail each other every day, don't we? Wives? Did your husband fail you this week? Anybody? We've got a bunch of lying wives in here. Man, what about you? I'm going to give you the chance. Your wife fail you this week? Just anybody? Oh, that's dangerous ground you're treading on back there, my friend. You know, we're human. We fail. You know what? That's okay. That's part of who we are. It's part of our life. The thing is that we've got to fight against the sin in our lives. We've got to fight against doing those wrong things, obviously. And that's part of that process that we talked about a few weeks ago, known as sanctification, the process of trying to be more like God. God has called us to that. And he's called us into doing things like forgiving others. Why? So that he can have the glory. So that God can be made more famous. So that your friend can go, didn't that guy really, didn't he steal all your money or something? And you'd be able to go, yeah, actually he did, man. He's like my best friend. We're having pizza tonight. And your friends go, what? You're having pizza tonight with the guy that stole all your money? Yeah, we are. Pepperoni and sausage, actually. You see, things like that don't make sense to this world. And things like that show this world that God's power is truly something that can overcome anything. I want to introduce you to a couple of friends of mine this morning, and we're going to do that through a little video that we've got here. So I'm going to ask them to go ahead and come on up and shoot this video here.
It's not funny, but we can introduce ourselves.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, I'm Ashley McClellan.
I'm Chad McClellan.
And we have a story.
We do.
Say anything else?
I think we're supposed to introduce ourselves.
Hi, I'm Ashley McClellan. Great.
Hold on, we gotta do better than that. That was terrible.
Okay.
They'll be like, we're really not interested in hearing your story after that. All right, I'm Chad McClellan. I'm 30 years old.
Baby, you have a microphone out. You don't have to yell.
I'm Chad McClellan.
Okay, ready? Hold on.
Cut. I was just talking normal.
Okay, ready? Go.
Take two.
All right, take three.
All right. Hi, I'm Chad McClellan. You have to go next. Okay, we got to come up. What are we going to say? We're going to say our name. You're going to say how old we are?
Yeah.
We've been married for...
And what we did.
How many years? How long have we been married?
Almost 2 years in May.
We are married, right?
Okay, ready?
Oh.
Okay, and we'll say what we do.
We've been married for 22 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ready?
Can we say what we do?
I can say what I do.
Okay, are you going? You go first.
Okay.
Ladies
ready?
First.
Boom. Hi, I'm Ashley McClellan. I am 28 years old, and I'm a real estate agent.
I'm Chad McClellan. I'm 30 years old. I'm an athletic field contractor. We've been married for 22 months.
And we have a story.
We do have a story. It's a very good story.
Yes. I guess.
And it's still going.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Is that enough?
Uh-huh. Okay. We're done, I think.
This is Ashley and Chad McClellan, if you hadn't guessed that by now. Thank you guys for hanging out up here today. Ashley and Chad have been coming to 24 for a long time. Ashley and I go way back. You are Joey's little sister. Joey and I grew up together, and I spent a lot of time at their house. And we spent a lot of time talking Ashley into doing things that she wasn't supposed to do. QVC no longer uses rulers anymore to measure things on the TV because Ashley called so many times pretending to be teachers wanting to buy the rulers. And the rulers were not for sale, but they never, like the first person you called could never tell you the rulers are not for sale. They'd just go, let us check on that. Give us a few minutes. And it would be like hours on the phone with QVC and me and Joey just rolling around the floor laughing.
Never my idea.
It was never her idea. Make sure that's on. Talk into that for
it's
me.
It's on.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. Chad and Ashley do have an incredible story, and it is still going, you know, like you said. And even just, you know, as we've had some other people up here and on the screen, and all of these people would tell you, number one, they've not gotten it all together, and the story still is continuing here. Chad and Ashley are here to share part of what has happened with them. First of all, why don't you guys just begin to tell me how long you guys have been married for? How long?
22 months.
22 months. How long did you guys date before you got married?
3 years.
There was
exactly the day we got married. It was our 3-year anniversary.
3-year anniversary. Yeah. Aren't you special?
It wasn't that special.
There was something that happened in the first little bit. There really, I guess, was building more or less before you guys got married, but began to happen after you guys got married. There became a disconnect between the two of you guys. And Chad, if you would, why don't you just kind of begin to share just kind of what was going on and kind of what was happening here?
Well, I believe the disconnect, it came to light after we got married because we moved in together, and it becomes, things are harder to sweep under the rug, so to speak, when you're living in the same house with someone. And our relationship was, at least my side of our relationship, was strictly about what I could get from it, and I saw it more as just a profitable deal for me. Like, there was a person who, you know, I enjoyed being with, we had fun, and you know, I could get things for myself from that person, and it was always like a negotiation kind of, and it was never I would do something in a way to serve her just for the sake of, you know, serving my wife. It was always, yeah, if I do that, then I can get this from it, or I'll be able to do this, or some sort of negotiating tactic. Like I said, it was kind of just an arrangement that I could profit from personally, basically.
Ashley, what would you describe it as? You've kind of got some description of what this was like.
It was kind of a train wreck, I guess. That's probably the best way to describe it. We dated for 3 years, like I said earlier, and we fought a majority of the 3 years. And a lot of our friends that are here, they probably know that, because it got to a point where, you know, it was hard to hang out with people because we disagreed. Yeah, we loved each other, but we just couldn't seem to agree. We were both selfish, maybe one a little more than other. And
<Just kidding. laughs> She called you out,
that was
man.
A joke. It was very difficult, and we were married for 4 months, and we actually separated, and we almost stayed separated for almost a year. So we haven't been together a majority of our marriage yet. So, but during that year, we learned a lot.
You guys both kind of described this to me the other day. Is basically, Chad, that you kind of had a double life kind of going on.
I did. You know, I was young and immature when we met. I was just out of college, and you know, a lot of things that were going on in my life were things that were fun for me and things that made Chad happy. And when you get a girlfriend and as you get more serious and work towards marriage, some of those things conflict with building a relationship. And to me, I didn't take the attitude, I need to move the relationship in and move my single life out. It was, I need to hide my single life from my relationship and maintain both. And that's when we moved in together, that became very difficult to do. Like, because away from her, I was a completely different person. And I mean, completely different person. And it became so much work to be Chad in the relationship and in the marriage that it was exhausting. And it got to the point where it stopped being beneficial for me. And I left.
You guys were together for 4 months and then separated. What was it like at that point, at the point of separation? What was going on with you?
It was probably, it by far is the hardest thing I ever experienced, because as a woman, we all have these mindsets of what marriage is going to be like, what our life is going to be like, how many children we're going to have. And the pieces of the puzzle just weren't fitting together. It wasn't working out. I became very ashamed. When he left, I played it off for at least 2 or 3 weeks, even with my family, that he was working out of town, because he worked out of town all the time. And so I was kind of ashamed and embarrassed and, you know, extremely hurt, because I was very disappointed and upset that he had not picked our marriage and that he had walked out, and I just wasn't sure what I was going to do. I'd kind of given up on it, and experienced a significant amount of heartache. And
Chad, what was going on? What was going on with you during that time? It's kind of a long process, even starting at that point for you, wasn't it?
Yeah,
maybe not in time, but just what you went through.
It wasn't. You know, obviously, no one gets married and plans on moving out 4 months later. It was difficult, but at the same time, I treated it kind of like a fight. Like, I wasn't going to give in. Like, I was going to win. And it was win at all costs, regardless of who it hurts, regardless of what it means. I was going to serve myself in this, and I was going to come out on top, whatever that meant.
When we were hanging out talking the other day, there was something that resonated with me that you mentioned, and that was that you realized that you were really just hurting everybody. You were causing everybody hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's that you don't realize it at the time or you just don't care at the time. But when you do step back and look at it and think about some of the events that took place, you realize the number of people that you impact in that way. And there's a lot of people, and you end up hurting a lot of people just by your actions that, you know, may not involve them, but through the person that you did hurt, it resonates down the line.
Something changed. Something happened.
Well, without getting into all the details, we had been separated for right at 8 months. So the 4 months we were married and the 8 months we were apart, it was about the first year of marriage.
It's a long 8 months, right?
Yeah, it was a very long 8 months. And things were not getting better. I would, you know, give it lip service, kind of like trying to work on things. And I mean, I didn't have the goal of being divorced, but I wasn't putting forth the effort. I put forth enough until it got tiresome for me, and then that was all I was willing to give. And it had gotten to the point where it was so bad, and I had done some very terrible things, and I was driving back from Atlanta, and I was kind of just looking over my life, and the gravity of all the heartache and all the pain that I had caused was starting to come down on me. And I couldn't find one thing in my life that I was proud of. There wasn't a single relationship. There wasn't a single action. Everything I did was solely serving myself. An example, I have an excellent attendance record at church. My parents, they go to Church of Christ. And every Sunday, I was in church. And the only reason that I went to church every Sunday is so I didn't have to have the conversation with my mom why I wasn't in church. I didn't walk in a church building to serve God for one minute. It was, I got 60 minutes on Sunday, and I get out of that, and my mom's pleased. She saw me there. Good deal. But I didn't serve God. I didn't serve anybody. I just served myself. And the reality of that started to set in. And I'd prayed thousands upon thousands of prayers from here. And I prayed one prayer from here that night. And I prayed to God. I was like, I need help. My life is, I've steered this ship as far as it will go. It can't go any lower. I can't pull it out. Like, I don't know what to do. And it wasn't as dramatic as Paul on the road to Damascus, but I had an experience with God at that point. And I tell my friends this, and they kind of raise an eyebrow and look at me, and I'm like, that's what happened. It lasted 2 seconds. After I prayed that, all my life kind of flashed in front of my eyes, and all the times that I turned my back on God, and all the times that I'd hurt her and hurt others, and all the sin that I had, you know, gravitated towards in my life, like, appeared right in front of me. And the shame of having all of that right here in the presence of God was horrible. I've never been more shamed, and the agony and the pain was more than I can describe. And in the very next second, that weight was lifted, and a feeling that I would say is just the essence of peace, like, came over me. And God told me, not in words that I heard in my ear, but he told me, he said, I forgive you and I love you. And then he was gone. It took 2 seconds. And at that moment, I realized that I had never loved anyone like that. And there wasn't anything in my life that resembled that. And like I told you, like I've heard, you know, countless sermons on, you know, accepting grace. And I just thought grace was something cool that, you know, they said that, you know, that we had, and it was evidently, you know, special, and it was great, I have grace. But to feel that and to experience grace, I think made it, at that point, I was able to kind of accept it, and I was able to understand, I guess, what God, you know, has done in my life.
So you have this earth-shattering, God-moving moment in your life where he changes you from the inside out. And then you have finally just begun to move on.
At that point, the same day he went through that, I was done with him. Like, I pretty much washed my hands of him. I came home, my parents, you know, they were like, you know, be done with it. We had drawn up divorce papers. Every friend I had was like, well, there's your closure. You know, what he's done to you, that's your closure. And I was like, I was still so torn. And I actually signed the divorce papers. And it was odd. Like, I prayed about it. I did not feel like I was supposed to be divorced. And I mean, everybody was like, are you crazy? You know, have you absolutely lost your mind? And I was like, well, yeah, of course I have. But, you know, I didn't feel like signing. I didn't feel like mailing off the divorce papers. And so I just kind of, I completely distanced myself from him. I wanted him, I kind of abandoned him because I felt like he needed to do this on his own. He had tried so many times to piggyback off me and you know, wanted me to be there and hold his hand and teach him how to do it. And I finally, for once, God gave me the strength to back out of the relationship and step away from him and say, look, you're on your own now. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And it was probably a couple months or 3 months or so. I didn't even speak to him, completely ignored every phone call, every letter, everything that he sent me. And that was one of the hardest things I've done. But
at what point did you realize this? He really has changed. Something's going on here, and I need to pay attention to this and see into this.
Well, after I guess 4 or 5 months, we started communicating again. And I was very bitter and angry, and I knew I'd told myself there was no way I could find it within my heart to forgive him. I was like, this is just, you know, it's not human to forgive someone, and plus I'm going to look stupid. If I allow my husband back in my life, people are going to say, you know, you got burned once, you know, shame on him. You get burned 2, 3, 4 times, shame on you, you know. And I thought, you know, if he breaks my heart again, I'm not sure I can handle this. And I don't know, I finally started becoming okay with it and saying, you know, if we do get back together and he does leave again, you know, or it doesn't work, I will be okay. And I started realizing he really does, he was having faith and he was doing it on his own. And I just really prayed about it, and we were both seeing therapists, and I just really started reflecting on things in my life and things in our relationship, and I don't know, I felt like it was the right time to start giving things a chance.
How long have you guys been back together?
September.
Since September.
I moved in with him in October. Yes.
And what's it like now?
The days are better, but it's still a fight every day. And to go back to, you know, when I had this experience with God, nothing in the surrounding of my life changed. Like her family, her, you know, everything that I'd done up to that point was still there. And it takes more than just saying, I'm different now. Like, it takes a lot more, especially since they've seen it for 4 years, and they've seen things happen that, you know, things are said and things are done that are not easily unsaid and undone. But the goal wasn't to get my wife back. The goal was to serve God. And I realized, you know, it was a special bond here because of the amount of pain that I had caused her. And I prayed that several times a day, every day, just for the opportunity to reconcile this. Not even, not for the marriage to say, but just for the opportunity to just to say I'm sorry, like to the point where she would accept it and mean it and to understand that. And, you know, to get the marriage back together, like I said, it wasn't about getting my wife back. It was about serving God and maintaining the marriage and, you know, the decisions that I had made. And it wasn't, serving God didn't come from a place because I owed it to him, which I do, but that kind of power and that kind of love and that kind of gift that he's given us is, it's worthy of glory and it's worthy of praise and everything that I have to give. And it comes from that, I mean, everything in my life, all the hooks that sin, you know, had in me, I didn't have to fight each one of those. The miracle that God worked in my life is that he took me off the top and I was able to put him up there. And then it's amazing how everything underneath it changes just from switching that one thing up there.
But they are both leaving out the gory details, if you will, and I'll tell you why. They're both so concerned about not wanting to make the other look bad because they are trying to build each other up right now. But I did. I asked Chad. I said, do you ever still want to do the things that you had fallen into before? And this was his response. I'm quoting you here on this, and I hope it's okay. But he said, you know, I do still have those desires from time to time. But what I've figured out is that they are counterproductive to being who God is wanting me to be. And, you know, it's getting to that place for us so many times, I think, that is so hard for people and so hard for us to see that our lives are meant to bring God glory. And, I mean, you said it, that you are to be about serving God. You're to be about doing his work and doing his thing. And that when you do that, then you're doing everything else right, just kind of automatically. It kind of happens and it falls into place. This has not been an easy thing, as it's not been for anybody that's been sharing their story, but it's not been an easy thing for them to even get to this point to be ready to share their story. But they came to me a while back and said, we think that God has allowed us to go through this so that we can share it with other people and that other people can have hope if they're going through something similar or wondering if their marriage is going to make it. And for your willingness to just get up here and share about something that's happened within the last year and a half, 2 years of your life, as huge and as, you know, in such a magnitude as this has been, thank you so much for doing that. It's so awesome of you guys to do that today. And we appreciate you doing that, don't we? I don't have to tell you this, but she, you know, she and her brother are both really hard-headed, but that you can't really blame it on them because they get it from their mom. we are extremely blessed to have you guys as a part of our church, and it's so awesome. You guys start working in kids' church next week. You guys have done a little bit of that, but you're going to be hosting and doing some things, and that's really awesome to see that. To just kind of close this out this morning, I was watching TV and something spoke to me. Something I had seen before spoke to me this week. It spoke to me so much I showed it to my home team this week, and it just continued to speak to me. And through a lot of what Chad was saying earlier this week when we got together and talked about understanding and realizing the hurt that he was causing people around him, what we're about to watch is a video. It's a Johnny Cash video, and it's where he re-recorded a song written by another artist. And this particular video, he chose this song and he chose to do a video for the song because he felt like at the end of his life, looking back, this is kind of what had happened, was that he had spent the majority of his life hurting the people that he loved and hurting maybe even the world, as he put it. And so I wanted us to watch this. It's a moving thing, at least for me. He drops the hell word in the middle of it, not as in heaven and hell. So, you know, hope you're okay with that. We're going to watch it anyway. But it's one of those things that I think that is important for us to not get to the end of our life and then ask, did I bring glory to God or did I bring glory to myself? So let's watch this video together.